This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. فما بعد, my brothers and sisters, I want to talk to you about a very important thing today, which is something which is extremely important for us to understand and learn. And that is the issue of what we call adabul ikhtilaf, the etiquette of disagreement, adabul ikhtilaf. Al-ikhtilafu ra'y fihi khair. This is a good thing, to have a difference of opinion. Walakin ikhtilafu ra'y laysa ikhtilaf bayna al-ashkhas. Ikhtilaf al-Ra'i is not a fight between people. It's not ikhtilaf between two people. It is ikhtilaf, it is a disagreement, a difference of opinion about a particular matter of deen. Right? Now this is very important to understand. Therefore, if there is a difference of opinion, first and foremost, the thing to do is to understand that, like in any technical matter, for example, if you go to a doctor, suppose you have some, you feel some pain. So you go to a doctor, you go to your PCP or somebody, and then he prescribes various tests, so on. Then he finally says that you need an operation. Right? So, okay, I need an operation. Then somebody says, why don't you get another opinion, second opinion? So for the second opinion, who do you go to? Do you go to your sheikh? Because he is Hafiz Quran, because he has made hibs above the siyasita. Do you go to him for that? No. Do you go to for that second opinion, do you go to an engineer or a rocket scientist or somebody who is on this International Space Station? No. You go to another physician, you go to another doctor, a specialist in that specific area, right? Now this is normal sensible logic, but funnily, for some reason, with Islam, we forget this. For Islam, everybody thinks that they have the right to have ikhtilaf with everybody else. So first and foremost, we have to understand, what is the extent of my knowledge? Do I know enough to be able to disagree? To be able to disagree on a point of ilm, you must have ilm. You can't disagree, no, but I don't like this. Your like or dislike has nothing to do with ilm. Like and dislike is nafs. I like something, I don't like something. And this is fine, alhamdulillah, nothing wrong with that. But don't bring that into the area of the knowledge of deen, just like we don't bring it into the area of any specialized knowledge. So that's the first thing to understand, our own limitations. Second thing to understand is that when there is a genuine difference of opinion, both parties have the same goal. And what is the goal? To arrive at the truth. Right? If the goal is different, supposing I have a difference of, or I say I have a difference of opinion with you, with Arshad Abdullah, but actually I want to show that I have more knowledge, I want to put him down, I want to make him look like a fool, then there is this shaitan in this. Right? There is shaitan. Because I don't have a difference. I want to make him look bad compared to me. Then this is shaitan. They make istighfar and stop this. Don't talk. Difference of opinion must be focused on one thing, which is to get at the truth. So that is why in Islam, difference of opinion is recognized and encouraged. Because our aima and our scholars, they have said, the benefit of difference of opinion is, I am looking at something from one angle, he is looking at the same thing from another angle, and together we get a much better picture of the whole. Instead of, if both of us were looking at it from the same angle, then we would be seeing only one side. You never see the opposite side. Right? There is this famous story of five blind men who wanted to see an elephant. Yeah, you must have heard this story, right? So they wanted to see it. So they said, how do you see it? The guy is blind. So how do you see elephant? So they said, okay, we'll take you to the elephant. And, you know, you can feel the elephant and so on, and try to figure out. So they went and they went around the elephant, somebody caught the tail of the elephant and he put his hand around it. He felt the tail of the elephant. One guy caught the trunk of the elephant, another guy caught the ear of the elephant, another guy went to the legs of the elephant, so on. So when they came back, they asked him, what does the elephant look like? The man said, the elephant looks like a tree trunk. You know, one long, big trunk. Hey, elephant like a trunk? He said, what about you? He said, the elephant is like a rope. He said, rope with some hair at the end of it. That is the elephant. Rope is it. And he said, Athar, what about you? He said, no, it's like a snake. It's like a big snake. Big, thick snake which moves here and there. He said, what about you? He said, no, elephant is like a fan. Flat fan. Yeah? So, basically, they're talking about the elephant, not the, but because they only see that one piece, that guy who said fan is, he looked at, he felt the ear of the elephant, that's all he knows. With ikhtilaf al-ra'y, you can see the entire elephant. Now, I'll give you two examples. Ikhtilaf al-ra'y is nothing new. It's not a modern thing and it's happening in our time, no. The way it is happening in our times, that is new, which is ikhtilaf which degenerates into personal conflict. This is new. Making videos and pronouncing takfir on this sheikh and that sheikh, this is new. May Allah have mercy on us, this is haram. But with Salafus Salihin, the Sahaba differed on many matters, but one of the most important and famous matters from the seerah is the difference of opinion between the Sahaba on a matter of ibadah, of salah. Now, what is more important than a matter of ibadah? And that is the one thing which is the peak of the matter. What happened was that after the Ghazwatul Khandaq, Ghazwatul Ahzab, the Sahaba were taking off their armor, Rasulullah was taking off his armor, Jibreel came. And he said, Ya Muhammad, how is it that you are taking off your armor and your job is not complete? Nabi said, what? He said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has ordered you to go and take care of the Banu Qurayza. Because these people, they were traitors and they betrayed you. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants you to settle that matter. You cannot take off your armor until that matter is settled. So go. So Rasulullah called the Sahaba and he ordered them to go into the land of the Banu Qurayza, which was far away from Medina. And he said, pray Salatul Asr in the lands of the Banu Qurayza. So the Sahaba left. So now they are marching. As they are marching towards the land of the Banu Qurayza, the sun is setting. Time of Asr is finishing. So when it looked like the time of Asr will finish and the time of Maghrib will come, they stopped. Some of them said, look, we have to pray Asr. We cannot leave the Salah and not pray. And the time has gone. So we have to stop and pray. The other Sahaba, they said, no. This is the hukum of the Rasul, alayhi salam. To go against the hukum of the Rasul is kufr. So we cannot do that. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also knew that the sun will set. But he told us, go and pray in the land of Banu Qurayza. And if you cannot pray, then we have to make khada there. And we pray asr as khada in that land. But we cannot pray before. So now there is a major difference of opinion on a matter of Salah, it's a difference of interpretation about the hukum of the Rasul alayhi salam and the hukum of Salah. Right? So what did they do? Some of them who followed one line, they stopped and they prayed Salatul Asr within its time. Others continued to march. And when they reached the place of Banu Qurayza, obviously time for Asr was gone. It was time for Maghrib. So they prayed Salatul Asr as Khada. Now, did they pronounce takfir on each other? Did they say, you are a kafir? You went against the Nabi? Did they say that? No. They came back to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and they told him, Ya Rasulullah, this is what happened. We had this different opinion and we did this and so and so did that. And Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, both of you are correct, no problem. Another very famous difference of opinion, actual debate, was between two of the greatest of the Aima of this deen, Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi alayh and Imam Malik bin Anas radiallahu anhu rahmatullahi alayh. Actual debate. Now, Imam Abu Hanifa was about 12 or 14 years older than Imam Malik. So he was a great scholar, plus he was also older. Imam Malik was younger, but also a great scholar. Now, one of the things was, the fundamental difference of opinion was that Imam Malik used to say, when he would sit in his majlis, he would say, be careful about the people of Rai, people of opinion, right? And this was a reference to Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah, because the Hanafi Mazhab has a lot of position for, and a lot of importance for Rai. Again, by Rai, don't understand this to mean anybody's Rai. This is, we are talking here about the ijtihad of the people of mujtahideen, of the ulama who have the right to make ijtihad. It's not somebody's opinion. So, they had a meeting after Hajj in Mina. This meeting was witnessed by another of the great ulama from Egypt, and his name was Al-Layth bin Sa'ad, rahmatullahi alayh. So, he has written a detailed description of the meetings. I won't go into the whole thing, just a couple of points. One point on which they differed was, Imam Malik rahmatullahi said, don't ask questions about things that have not occurred. For example, supposing you say, you know, if I am in the International Space Station, which is orbiting the Earth, which direction should I face to pray Salah? Imam Malik's position was, when are you going there? Are you going there now? Are you going there tomorrow or day after? No, I'm not going. If I am there, Imam Malik used to say, don't waste my time, go away. No, if you have a situation, come ask for an opinion, ask for a ruling. If you don't have a situation, forget it. And he used to say, this was the position also of Sayyidina Umar ibn al-Khattab radhiyallahu anhu. He said, don't waste my time with hypothetical questions instead of sticking to the truth. So he asked this question. Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah said, you are in Medina where there is stability. Right? Nothing is changing there. There is stability. I am in the middle of the, in Baghdad and Kufa. I am in the middle of the kingdom. We have issues every day. So we come up with hypothetical issues because these issues come up. He said, for example, there is a question that there was a man who went with the army and he did not come back. His wife waited, and she waited for a few years. He still didn't come back. So she married somebody else. Immediately after she married somebody else, this man came back. He says, now what? There has been no formal talaq. So what is the opinion? Imam Malik said, this is a hypothetical question. Imam Abu Hanifa said, no, it is not. This thing has happened in our place. Then he gave an example. He said, a man came to Rasulullah sallam, and he said to him, Ya Rasulullah, if I am at home, if I am in my house, a man comes and asks me and tells me, give me your money. What should I do? Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, don't do it. Don't give it. He said, if the man, imagine, everything is if, right? If this hasn't happened to him, he said, if this happens. So he said, if then he attacks me, what shall I do? He said, fight him. He said, in the fight, if I kill him, what happens? He said, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, he will go to Jahannam. So Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah said, this is the hadith, you know this hadith, I know hadith. He's asking a hypothetical question. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not say, did it happen to you? Why? No, he said, he gave an answer. When he asked him, not one, three questions, he gave answers. Imam Malik remained silent. There are three other matters which they talked about. I won't go into the details. But after this whole thing finished and they left, Al-Layth bin Sa'ad, rahmatullah, he decided, he wanted to go and ask, what did you think of your partner, adversary, opponent, whatever you want to call it. So he said, I went to Imam Malik rahmatullah, and he said, what do you think of Abu Hanifa rahmatullah? Imam Malik says, wallahi, I have never met a more intelligent man in my life. He said, I have met many, many people, but he is a true jurist. And his mind is so incisive and his arguments are so convincing that if he gives you a piece of iron and tells you it is gold, you will believe it. Alhamdulillah. Then he went to, Al-Layth went to Imam Abu Hanifa Rahmatullah. He said, what do you think about Imam Malik? He said, wallahi, I have debated with hundreds of people, but I have never come across a man who is so eager and so quick and so willing to accept the truth. Eh? He's praising his opponent. He says he's the most willing to accept the truth. He won't stick to something. Alhamdulillah. Then what happened after that? What happened after that was Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah sent his son, Hamad, to Medina to study under Imam Malik, the Muwatta. Now imagine, this would not have happened if the debate had not happened. And then what happened was that Imam Malik was approached by Al-Mansur, who was the Khalifa, Abbasi Khalifa. Al-Mansur said that the Muwatta is such a beautiful and authentic book. Incidentally, Imam Bukhari took the whole Muwatta into Bukhari. Complete book. So he said, he approached him, he said, take this book. I said, I will have this book engraved in gold and put inside the Kaaba. And I will issue an edict to say that nobody must study anything other than the Muwatta. And I will say that the studies and the schools of everyone else is finished. Only yours. Imam Malik refused. He said, no. He said, do not do anything like that. He said, if Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam's sunnah and if his hadith, if Allah wanted to preserve them in different places, in different ways, alhamdulillah. And then he said that Sayyidina Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu sent sahaba all over the world. Because one of the questions, Imam Malik said, listen to the people, the consensus of the people of Medina. Because he is going by what Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said about the Istinbadul Hakam. He said, the Kitab of Allah, the Sunnah of Rasulullah, and in the absence of these two, the Ijma, Bain al-Ulama, between the Ulama and then Qiyas. So Ijma, for Ijma, the consensus, Imam Malik said, take consensus of the people of Medina because the Quran was revealed in Medina, it was not revealed in the Euphrates, meaning Iraq, meaning Imam Abu Hanifa's place. He used to say this. When he said this to Imam Abu Hanifa, Imam Abu Hanifa said, how many people were in Medina? He said 10,000 people. He said there were 120,000 people who went for Hajj with the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, who prayed the janazah for Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. He said, what happened to the others? Only 10 are here. What about out of 120, 10 are here, so 110,000, where are they? He said, all over the world, because especially Sayyidina Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu sent people all over the world. He said, where is Amr ibn al-As in Egypt? Radiallahu anhu, right? And he narrated names of many people. He said, where is so-and-so, so-and-so, so-and-so? Abu Bayd ibn al-Jarrah radiallahu anhu, where was he? He's in Syria. So different people in different places, right? So he said, consensus not only of the consensus of scholars. So when Al-Mansur came and he said this, Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah said, no, he said, the Sahaba are spread all over the world. And we respect them and we take their opinion from wherever they are, not only from Medina. So the point I want to make for you is that it started with a difference of opinion. It started with some strong positions. And interestingly, as far as the hukum was concerned for all of these things, neither Imam Malik nor Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi changed their position. They remained on the same position. But the effect of the disagreement was love between the two increased. Respect for each other increased. Learning from each other increased. And this brought about integrity and ittihad in the ummah. And this was what Al-Layth bin Sa'd said, that wallahi, you have joined the ummah together through your dispute. Yeah? The reason I'm saying this is because this is a very common thing nowadays, right? We get into difference. First of all, we have difference of opinion and we have no right to have the difference because we don't have the knowledge, number one. Number two, where we have the difference of opinion, it ends up with fighting between people. Please understand, it is far better to lose an argument and maintain a friendship than to win the argument and destroy the friendship. Friendship is far more important than winning any argument. Always, please understand this. Do not allow an argument to spoil your relationship. Relationships are far more important than arguments. Today's argument is there, tomorrow is not there, matter is over. The relationship is still there. Right? So that is why I remind myself and you, let us keep hearts together. If somebody has a different opinion, alhamdulillah, no problem. He has his dalil, you have your dalil. If you need to tell them, explain to them, that's it. We have been told to, وَمَا عَلَيْنَا إِلَّا الْبَلَاغُ الْمُبِينَ. We have been told to convey. We have not been told to convince. We have not been told to convert somebody to our point of view. No, convey. This is my dalil. This is what I am telling you. If you take it, alhamdulillah. You don't take it, alhamdulillah, no problem. Because at the end of the day, you will stand before Allah by yourself. I will stand before Allah by myself. Allah will not question you about me or me about you. So, do not allow arguments and differences of opinion to separate us from each other. We are all, alhamdulillah, brothers and sisters to one another because of Islam. Let us make sure that that is the uppermost and supermost thing in our minds. وَصَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَىٰ نَبِيِّ الْكَرِيمِ وَعَلَىٰ آلِهِ وَصَحْبِهِ أَجْمَعِينَ بِرَحْمَتِكَ يَا رَحْمَ اللَّهِ